Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we sort of ask you to hold your calls for the time being because we hope we're going to have with us this afternoon Mr. Stanley Hilton, who's actually bringing a suit against the President of the United States for what happened on September 11th. And he has a number of clients, of course, that are with him. We're going to have him with us in about 5 minutes. So until then, let me just talk to you about some of the things that we have a perception over, but of course our perception has very little to do with reality or what really is going on in the world. Now, of course, many of you believe that we went into Afghanistan because of the wicked Osama bin Laden, who launched an attack on the World Trade Center, the Pentagon. I mean, most people would believe that is the case. But of course, if that was really the case, why didn't we capture Osama bin Laden? And, of course, there's a wonderful book we're carrying, and you really need to get it. We have ordered a supply of these because we think it's so important. It's written by Paul Sperry, who is the Washington, D.C. correspondent for WorldNet Daily. And, of course, basically what Mr. Sperry points out is that he's talked to the Green Berets who came back from Afghanistan after the Afghan War, and they were not allowed to go after Osama bin Laden. Let me repeat that. Our military was not allowed to go after Osama bin Laden. Why was that? Well, because, of course, had we gotten Osama bin Laden, how would we justify continuation of the war on terror? How would we justify the Patriot Act? How would we justify the Office of Homeland Security? How would we get the American people to go along with this massive collection of data and information on every American in the world today? And, of course, the American people wouldn't have put up with it. And so the official policy in Afghanistan was not Osama bin Laden first, but Osama bin Laden last. And if you'd like to, we have an article we'd be glad to send any of our listeners. It comes from the Washington Times in October of the year 2001, and it simply quotes a highly placed Pentagon official saying exactly what I have just said. Our policy is not Osama bin Laden first. Our policy is Osama bin Laden last. If we got him, how would we justify continuing the war? We wouldn't be able to get the rest of the Al-Qaeda terrorists. And that's true. If you'd gotten Osama bin Laden, a lot of people would say, why are we still in the war? And so they didn't try to get Osama bin Laden, and they didn't try to get the Al-Qaeda terrorists. And we told the Afghans from the Northern Alliance that they should get them. And many of these, of course, admired Osama bin Laden. And actually, of course, bin Laden and the Al-Qaeda hierarchy were escorted across the border into a neighboring Pakistan many times, it's believed, by the very people that we employed to get Osama bin Laden. We went into Afghanistan having nothing to do at all with getting Osama bin Laden, but that was what we told the American people. We went into Afghanistan so we could take out the Taliban, so we could replace it with a reliable government, so we could build that pipeline which had been planned for so very long by Chevron, for which Condoleezza Rice worked, and of course the pipeline that would go then from the Caspian Sea area down to Turkmenistan, to Afghanistan, and then to Pakistan. And 2 days after we started bombing the Taliban, our representatives were in Pakistan making arrangements for the pipeline. We'll be back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And of course, we're going to have with us, hopefully this hour, a Mr. Stanley Hilton. And Mr. Hilton is a lawyer, and he is, of course, is working on a case, a $7 billion lawsuit, which has been filed with the U.S. District Court on June 3rd of the year, and it's against the President of the United States and other government officials for allowing the terrorist attack to occur on the 11th of September, the year 2001. Now that sounds like a pretty positive statement, a pretty outlandish statement. I mean, who would allow an attack to occur? Well, I would like to suggest, ladies and gentlemen, that if you have any question about what happened on September 11th, you should go to your website and get the Paul Thompson timeline, and see what our officials were doing that morning of September 11th. I mean, when they knew the attack had already occurred, when they knew that the second attack had already occurred, when they knew there was going to be a terrorist attack and it was going to involve using airplanes, what did they do? What did the president do? What did Donald Rumsfeld do? What did General Meyer, the acting chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, do? Well, if you'd like to, of course, you can get the Paul Thompson timeline. And then, of course, you'll want to get our September 2003 newsletter, our latest newsletter, and we'll be glad to send that free of charge to you, because of course it is a comparison between what happened on December 1st, 1941, and what happened on September 11th, the year 2001. And of course, if you go into the background and notice the similarities, it's really rather striking, because of course we know now so much about what happened on December 7th. Most of the information about what happened on September 11th has been classified because we don't want Osama bin Laden to find out what we knew about the attack beforehand. Do you honestly believe that? Or is it possible that, of course, the administration doesn't want the American people to know the significance of course, what this is really all about? And all we need, of course, to do is remember that we had broken the Japanese codes prior to the December 11th attack. We knew where the Japanese fleet was, and you'll get this on the books Day of Deceit by Robert Stinnett, and, of course, by John Tolan, Infamy. We carry the first book, and we carry a book called Infamy Revisited. Both are available from Radio Liberty by calling us right here. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and we know a great deal about what happened on December 7th, because some of the people who were there have actually talked. And, of course, we actually went back to Yale University. We went through the Sterling Library there, and there, of course, is the diary of Secretary of War Henry Simpson, who just happens to be a member of the Secret Skull and Bones Organization, just happened to be a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, just happened to be a very close friend of the McGeorge Bundy, who was the director of the National Security Council, who got us into Vietnam because of a phony Gulf of Tonkin incident. And if you doubt that it's phony, I suggest you get the book In Love and War by Admiral Stockwell, who was flying over the Gulf of Tonkin that day. And of course, there were no patrol boats there. Or you can get the tape recordings of Lyndon Johnson's conversation that when, of course, this whole thing came out, and he shouts at McNamara, "You lied to me, you lied to me. You told me, of course, that the Gulf of Tonkin was real, and it wasn't." And, of course, we lost 58,000 boys because they lied to us about what happened. Much of the information concerning Pearl Harbor is still classified. And, of course, so much of what happened on September 11th, 2001 is classified because we don't want either Osama bin Laden or the members, of course, of the Taliban or the members of Al-Qaeda to know what we knew on that day. Well, right now we have with us Mr. Stanley Hilton on the line. Mr. Hilton, are you there?
Yes, good afternoon.
Thank you so much for being with us. And, of course, launching a $7 billion lawsuit against the president and other government officials. Why don't you give us the background of the lawsuit and of course, what information you have? Because, of course, most government officials are afraid to come forward and tell anything about what happened on that tragic morning of September 11th. Do you have evidence that's not available to the general public?
Yes. What the macro of the lawsuit is that we're suing, it's a class action suit on behalf of families of victims of 9/11 and also others who have been victimized in various ways by the Bush administration's policies there and also in Iraq. And basically we're alleging that the Bush administration, we're charging them with complicity in facilitating what happened on 9/11, that we have evidence that they were given ample warning, not only of the fact that it would be planes crashing into these buildings, but also of the exact location, namely the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and that they intentionally allowed this to happen. And that not only that, but several of these so-called hijackers were, in fact, on the payroll of U.S. intelligence and counterintelligence, and they were basically turned or used as double agents. And therefore, not only did the U.S. intelligence community know about this was going to happen, but they actively encouraged, aided, and abetted it to happen in order to reap the tremendous political gains that Bush has reaped, and also to pursue this PNAC agenda of, you know, starting these aggressive wars, wars of aggression against any country that they want to, Iraq, Afghanistan, apparently Iran, and North Korea next. In service of this bizarre agenda to create a kind of global U.S. world empire.
Well, of course, for our listeners out there, Mr. Hilton, you actually were an aide or assistant to Senator Robert Dole working in Washington, D.C. for a time, weren't you?
Yes, I used to be his attorney on the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee at the U.S. Senate in Washington, D.C.
So you're certainly not a newcomer to this sort of thing. But, of course, these are really a rather a positive an indictment to make to suggest that we knew the attack was coming and that we did not try to stop it effectively. Do you think you can prove that in court?
Oh, I think definitely we can prove it. You know, the question is, was it just incompetence or gross negligence, or was it intentional? And I think we can establish that it was an intentional motive, that they had this motive, they had this plan. These people that, ironically enough, I used to go to school with at the University of Chicago in the late 1960s, the people that are now running the Pentagon, such as Wolfowitz, Feith, several of the others, were all students in the political science department at the University of Chicago, where I was at the time, and I don't know how much you know about this group
Professor Strauss's children, the students,
yeah.
Professor Strauss.
That's right, Professor Leo Strauss. So I was directly involved with them as a student at that time, and I remember we used to always have these sort of discussions, and in fact, this was my senior thesis. It was on how to turn the U.S. into a dictatorship and give the president dictatorial powers by staging these phony national security events, Pearl Harbors, as it were, homemade and homespun Pearl Harbors, in order to galvanize the public into supporting these outlandish political agendas.
Well, and of course, for our listeners, if you'd like more information on what Mr. Hilton is talking about, why you want to get the article that was written by Congressman Ron Paul called Neocon, and he goes into Professor Strauss, who, of course, believed we needed an authoritarian society headed by a few elitists, people who are very smart, and how really, of course, Machiavelli, of course, most people have heard of Machiavelli as the prince, but that Machiavelli was really a pretty good guy. He lied to the people, he deceived the people, he betrayed the people, and that's just exactly what our leaders should do, how they should specifically lie to them. You can get this on the internet. I'm sure you're well acquainted with this article by Ron Paul called Neocon.
Yes, of course. As I say, I was with these people directly under Leo Strauss. He was a professor emeritus in the late 60s at the University of Chicago, and he had a number of professors over there in the political science department who were so-called disciples of Leo Strauss in the Straussian school. And this whole idea, you see, arose basically out of the Vietnam War chaos in the late 60s, in which this was one of the many, supranational responses to that. And that, in particular, what's interesting is that this had a philosophical undertone. I mean, these are pseudo-intellectuals. These aren't just thugs off the street, even though what they're doing, in my opinion, is worse than thuggery. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, these are criminals who are violating the Constitution and guilty of mass murder in support of this bizarre plan. And the problem with this plan is that I don't think it'll work because, you know, for a number of reasons, but I'm not convinced that the American public would support such a gross waste of taxpayer money, manpower, lives, etc., in pursuit of a fantasy world empire that these folks were in favor of.
But of course, the American people don't know that. They think we went over to Iraq, of course, having to do with the weapons of mass destruction. We didn't find those. We were there, of course, to liberate the people. And of course, Saddam Hussein has the rape rooms, and Saddam Hussein has the mass graves, because a lot of those people in the mass graves are the people who listened to George Herbert Walker Bush, and of course, rose up back in 1991 when we promised to help them. And then we allowed them to be slaughtered by the tens of thousands. And they buried those in mass graves. And I think those are a lot of the mass graves. Not that Saddam Hussein wasn't a wicked man, because he was. But we backed him at every turn. And anybody who wants to look at the background of that needs to get my March newsletter, March 2003. Well, now, of course, when you talk to people about this, if they're not aware of the project for the New American Century, or they can actually go to their website at newamericancentury.org and pull down their material, where they lay out this whole plan for a war against Iraq. They laid it out back in 1998, 3 years before the attack on the World Trade Center.
Yes, we've named them as a defendant, by the way, in the lawsuit. The PNAC, as I call them, PNAC, Project for a New American Century, is named as a defendant on this, because I think it's important to identify, you know, who's behind this and what the real agenda is. And this is no accident. And, you know, as far as these so-called mass graves and so on, well, you know, this is ridiculous. I mean, there must be 136 countries in the world that have this stuff, mass graves. That's just the nature, unfortunately, of human nature and politics in the late 20th century. Whether you go to our friends or our enemies, so-called, El Salvador, Nicaragua, anywhere you want to go, Cambodia, Vietnam, you're going to find these events. This is not unique. In fact, I'd say it's typical of human nature. And the point is, the PNAC group, or the Straussian political theory, has a very great contempt. They're basically elitist, and they have a contempt for the public in general, and contempt for mass public opinion. And the idea is that, you know, have a small group of pseudo-intellectuals, such as these, making these dictatorship-like decisions, while fooling the public all along into thinking this is a real democracy and so forth. And I guess it doesn't really hit home until you lose. But if you talk to some of the people who had victims killed in 9/11 who are really angry at the government, why did their daughter or son get killed for nothing, or people that lost somebody in Iraq or continue to lose people in the army there for no purpose. And the point is, there is a purpose. It's just that it doesn't have to coincide with the general public's purpose.
Well, you know, it's we've been, of course, doing a little investigation. We find out that, you know, they're sending certainly civilian administrators from the United States to Iraq with minimal five-year contracts. According to Paul Sperry, who's the Washington correspondent for WorldNet Daily, the Army is planning on being there at least 10 years and probably permanently, but they won't tell the American people that. We're supposed to think we're going over just to, of course, establish a democracy, then that our boys are coming home. Do you think our boys are coming home, or do you think it's part of the bigger plan for the world empire?
No, they're in there permanently to stay. It's part of the bigger plan. You know, I call this the railroad track theory, because if you look at a railroad track that makes a curve, if you look at small segments of that track, it won't appear to be curved. It'll appear to be a straight line. And so this is how it proceeds. You know, give the people a little ounces at a time. One day, Bush says, you know, we'll be home in 2 months. The next time he says, I want $87 billion, but they'll be home by Christmas. This is just a fraud, and it's basically a curved railroad track, not a straight one, and these are not straight shooters. I think it's permanent, a permanent form of occupation out there. And, you know, the real interesting question is, I mean, one of the things in our lawsuit is also a taxpayer suit to stop this occupation of Iraq, which is a total waste of taxpayers' money.
All right, we're going to be back in just a few minutes with our special guest, Mr. Stanley Hilton. And, of course, we'll welcome your calls right here at Radio Liberty at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Isn't it interesting that you haven't been reading about this in your local paper or hearing about it on your local television? We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It's really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-1. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. By the time you reach the retirement years, the average American will be taking 7 different prescription medications. Wouldn't it be nice to stay healthy and avoid taking all those pills? One unusual molecule has been shown to be effective in maintaining health, allicin, the active ingredient in fresh garlic. You won't find much allicin in regular store-bought garlic pills, but you will in Alimax, the only 100% pure allicin garlic extract now being imported from Britain. Call 866-405-4000 to learn more about Alimax. That's 866-405-4000.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and then I want to mention the Big Berkey water filters, which we carry. We carry the Big Berkey water filter, stainless steel water filter. A filter is about 2.5 gallons of water at a time. You put the water in the top, comes out the bottom, goes to ceramic filters that, of course, are packed in the center with activated carbon. Works great. These have been in use for 100, 150 years. It's a standard. Wonderful for, missionaries. Wonderful in case there's an emergency. Wonderful if you want to just clean up the taste of your water. And of course, they're portable. You can use them in your home. You can use them in your recreational vehicle. You can use them at a cabin. The Big Berkey is $239.95. And of course, if you buy it through us, you get a 4-tape set and or a video that we produced. Now, it is $10 for shipping, but the Big Berkey is a standard water filter, a great thing to have on hand. Unfortunately, it's available in every state but California and Iowa. However, the Berkey Light is built exactly on the same principle. You put the water in the top, comes out the bottom. It's made of Lexan, which is transparent, so you can actually see the water level and the filters. And the filters here are not the ceramic filters, or what we call a black Berkey filter. They're really a much more efficient filter, and they'll like even take out MTBE, and no bacteria is going to get through this thing at all, and it really does a great job of taking out the pesticides and herbicides and all of those other things. The one thing, of course, is that with these, you have to change the filters every 2 to 4 years, whereas the Big Berkey, you can, of course, clean them over and over again. You can boil them, and they'll last a great deal longer. So this is the Berkey Light is $199. Now, if you want to get it with lights, that's an extra $60, but we have one without the lights. You don't need the lights, and you can always get the lights later. Both of these you can see pictures of on our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And, of course, we hope that you'll want to get one. And if you would like more information, look at our website at radioliberty.com. And if you want to order one, the telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And I'd suggest you call now. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is Mr. Stanley Hilton, who's an attorney. In fact, he was an attorney in Washington, D.C., who worked very closely with Bob Dole. And now, of course, are you representing a certain number of families or all the families in general? How is this being handled?
Well, it's a class action suit really on behalf of all the families, but there are about 10 that are they're actually actively participating in it. But when you file, you know, these class action suits, to the extent that you have a class of plaintiffs that are similarly situated, they are all members of the class of plaintiffs. And so basically, that's the situation. As far as I'm concerned, all 3,000 or so families that were victims that day are plaintiffs of the class action suit.
Well, of course, now some of these families have foregone $1 million or $1.5 million that they get automatically if they promise not to sue. Why was the government so frightened that there would be lawsuits either against the airlines or against the government? Or now, of course, they're doing everything they can to block the lawsuit against the Saudis, who obviously were involved in financing Al-Qaeda.
Right.
So why is the administration protecting them?
Well, it's interesting because the guy that's in charge of handing out those handouts, Ken Feinberg in New York, used to work with me in the Senate Judiciary Committee when I worked for Dole. He was working for Ted Kennedy at the time, and he's the guy that's now in charge of distributing the I call them the litigation bribes. That is, if you agree to waive your right to sue the government, they'll pay you a handout. You know, the fact of the matter is the government doesn't want anybody looking into this. They do not want an investigation, legal, political, or otherwise, into what really happened there. It's basically a cover-up. It's what we have here, a cover-up, in my opinion, far, far worse than Watergate. And I think eventually this is going to come out, whether through our suit or some other means. You know, the media is asleep in this country, and they're waving flags on behalf of Bush, which I find utterly shocking. Although, I guess, you know, when we were talking about the PNAC people back at the University of Chicago, we talked about how easy it would be to manipulate the press because... historically, dictators have been able to do that for a number of reasons.
Now, you actually were with these people like Wolfowitz and Pearl and these others, and they were talking about how they would manipulate the people and the public and lie and deceive them?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The ends justify the means is a sort of sanitized version of Machiavellianism, but I would call it a ruthless kind of strategy. But this is not unique in history. For instance, we certainly know that the Nazis did this in exploding the Reichstag fire of 1933. And, you know, I've been studying this my whole life. I've interviewed Albert Speer, who used to be Hitler's chief armaments minister and who was very close to Hitler. And I interviewed him back in 1981. And I've studied this subject for a long time. And there's no question in my mind that this is what's going on here.
All right, fine. Well, of course, I just hope you're going to, of course, be able to subpoena people. Of course, everything, of course, has been classified or top secret. They're doing everything they can to keep the American people from learning the truth, just as they did after Pearl Harbor. In fact, you know, it's amazing. So much of the information that was uncovered or that should have been uncovered at the time of Pearl Harbor is still classified today, 60 years later. So,
I'm convinced that Roosevelt knew about it coming in advance and that he wanted that to happen in order to get the U.S. into World War II. He got away with it primarily because that's seen as a so-called just war with positive results. But I think what's going to happen here is this PNAC agenda is going to explode in their faces in the sense that, you know, it's people will eventually realize and already are realizing that this is a total boondoggle in Iraq and that this is going to wreck the U.S. economy and in pursuit of a fantasy agenda that really makes no sense.
And, of course, these people back in 1997 planned on taking over our government, and it's all there on their website. I mean, that is the most incredible thing, Stanley, the fact that they would publish all of this, and it's available at newamericancentury.org, who these people were in 1997 who said, oh, we're going to actually create this new agenda for an international order that will benefit our profits and our principles. That's quite a statement.
Well, that's correct. And also, I would point out they have very close ties with the Israeli government. They were advisors to Netanyahu and the Likud party. And the one country in the world that's a cheerleader for the U.S. that's a partner in this is Israel. There's no question about it. So it's not that the U.S. is alone. There's a second country with this agenda. I just wanted to point that out, that when your goal is to stretch the Nile to the Euphrates and take over the oil fields, this is what would make sense. You know, when I was working for Dole in the Senate, I saw a number of studies that were done for the Pentagon dealing with a contingency plan to take over these oil fields. This is during the heyday of OPEC and the oil embargo and the threatened embargoes and the Iran hostage crisis and so on. And so this is something that's been long in the planning. And my question would be, if that's your goal, if that's what you really want to do, and you get this great opportunity where you're getting all this intelligence saying, these planes are going to attack the World Center, What would you do? Would you let him attack or would you stop it?
We'll be right back in just a moment here with our special guest.
Anglo-American establishment that gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course, I was talking with our special guest today, Mr. Stanley Hilton, about a speech that was given in July by Congressman Ron Paul. And of course, if you have access to the Internet, you can pull it down. It's called Neocon. Now, if you don't have access to it, we'll get you a copy. We'll have to charge you for it, $5, I think. It's a very important a speech because it basically goes into this whole Machiavellian plan, names the people who were involved in it. They were all, of course, the students of Leo Strauss. Of course, Mr. Hilton was one of theirs. And they've been planning on this, how to deceive the American people and how, of course, to take us into these wars. And, of course, what Ron Paul missed in his dissertation, and it's excellent. He's one of the smartest people in the country. He missed, however, this whole thing as a front for the Council on Foreign Relations, because 17 of the original 25 people within this organization just happened by chance to come from the Council on Foreign Relations. And if you think that's just by chance, you're incredibly naive. This is all planned ahead of time to create a new world order and a new world religion. Well, let me say you can get the pamphlet either on the Internet. It's called Neocon, or give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and say you want to get a copy of Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul's book, Neocon. And then let me remind you, we carry Phenopoly, a wonderful, wonderful program that will teach you and your children and your grandchildren how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And, of course, it's 5 board games and 2 bonus games. And, of course, this is available through Radio Liberty for $139.95. Most of these programs are $500. This is $139.95. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask about Phenopoly. You'll be glad you did. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Mr. Stanley Hilton, who, of course, actually launched this lawsuit. It was written up in the Examiner, but it's not really getting the coverage that it should, because, of course, when you realize, of course, there's a $7 billion suit being filed by many of the families, at least 10 of the families, realize, of course, we're not been told the truth. And, of course, when Christian Breitwiser testified before the Senate Select Committee of the House and Senate, her testimony was totally blacked out by the controlled media. When, of course, Stephen Push testified there, even Eleanor Hill, who was the director of the investigation, the staff director, when her testimony was totally blacked out. Now, you can pull them down off the Internet, or they are available through our ministry. We have all of these testimonies. Mindy Kleinberg testified in March of this year before the new investigative committee, which, of course, is headed by the man that was picked by the Bush administration. But, of course, her testimony was censored by the media as well. However, her testimony is included in the September newsletter, the most recent one. Christian Breitwiser's testimony is in the October Radio Liberty letter last year. All available up free up there. Right now, let's go, though, to Fred, who's calling from Salinas. Fred, did you have a question or comment apropos to what we're talking about today?
Yes, I just want to say that I was watching the second report on the 911 investigation.
Right.
And in that report, I found out that in all of the interviews, every one of the interviews that they had, there was always a government person in that room called a minder.
And that was so that they would not be allowed to tell the truth, because if they did, that would very well cost them their job, their pension, their retirement, and maybe
or
even
whatever else that they had. But have you ever heard of such a thing before?
Mr. Hilton, did you hear what Fred was saying?
Yes, I don't quite understand the question, though.
Oh, well, basically, he was just commenting that, when they were interviewing the government, FBI agents, whoever it was, there was a government agent there to make sure, monitoring what was said.
They were called?
Just let Stanley, go ahead, Stanley.
That's right. That's basically true. You know, that's part of the underlying infrastructure that makes control of the media what I call it. Propaganda ministry, which is basically what we have here. What we have is a controlled media and also control of government agents, because people who are, let's say, in the FBI or something like that and want to speak out against this, if they would want to tell you what really happened, or even the FAA or the air traffic controllers in Boston and so forth, they do fear their own livelihoods, if not lives and so on. Of course, there's tremendous bureaucratic pressure brought to bear upon them, and that's what makes it so difficult to get the truth out, and basically that's what you have today.
Well,
and it differs from the Watergate era, interestingly enough, 25 years ago, because in that era the media were anti-Nixon and anti-government, and it's personified most by Bob Woodward. Today Woodward's waving his flag for Bush. He's a cheerleader for Bush. And that just shows why it's so difficult to get the truth out.
Well, would you, of course, be able to get, bringing this case, would you be able to be depositions with FBI agents and get them to tell the truth? Or could they be put under a gag order by the Justice Department and saying, you can't testify and tell the truth?
Yeah, the government is raising national security as a defense to almost every type of document or witness that we tried to get in the case. And it's eventually, a judge has to make a decision on that. I mean, they just wave this national security as a sort of shibboleth or as a password. It means nothing. It's meaningless. Anything, a schedule of an airliner could be a national security issue. It depends how you define it. And the point is that a lot of the discovery we're doing is done under what's called a protective order, which means you cannot reveal the details outside of the people involved in the lawsuit. You cannot go to the press or give press conferences. That's true. And that's why the government has such a tremendous advantage here, because they can wave this magic cloak of national security and get away with anything.
Of course, Stanley, the thing is that the people are all dead. 3,000 people are dead. All of the hijackers are dead. What possible national security damage could it do? Is it we're trying to keep Osama bin Laden from knowing what we knew before the attack?
The actual national security that they are claiming is, they're claiming the myth that Al-Qaeda is this super powerful world conspiracy with branches in every major city, and that they're intent on more of these attacks unless we conceal, for instance, that what we know about their modus operandi, who their contacts are, who their informants are, et cetera, et cetera. This is all a great cloak and dagger game, but the truth is that the real conspirators are in Washington, D.C., and controlling these Al-Qaeda people are a very shadowy organization. I mean, it's like you get four or five Arabs around a coffee table, and that's Al-Qaeda. I mean, I have one witness who was married to one of the hijackers, and she swears up and down that the U.S. FBI agents were constantly interviewing this guy and watching the so-called Al-Qaeda. She knew both of the Atta brothers, Mohammed Atta, the supposed lead hijacker, and his brother, et cetera, et cetera. These people are all well known. We're talking over 10 years. These are what's called sleeper agents. They're in here long term. They're paid double to be double agents. And Al-Qaeda is basically a figment of the Bush administration's imagination that is used to terrorize the public. And the word terrorist now is being used like communist was used in the past, in McCarthyism, to just to round up just about anybody, as they're doing with the Patriot Act now. They're rounding up people who have nothing to do with Al-Qaeda or terrorism or anything.
Well, now, of course, you're not suggesting that the attack wasn't real. Certainly, the planes did crash into the buildings, didn't they?
Oh, yes, they did. They did, although, you know, one of the theories, and there's considerable evidence, is that it wasn't just the planes. It was also aided and abetted by explosives in these buildings that brought them down, because if you think about it, planes don't generally bring down buildings. I mean, if you look at it historically, planes have crashed into buildings. Buildings are made of steel structures, steel skeleton. They're designed to withstand this kind of an attack. And so that's one thing. And then, of course, regarding the Pentagon, there are other theories there regarding whether a missile or some other flying object was used in addition to or in lieu of the airliner. So I believe that the airliners were definitely involved, but there was, in addition, explosive devices used in addition to bring down those buildings.
All right, fine. Fred, did you have anything else you wanted to ask?
No, I think that's all. I just wanted to let everybody know around the country that they're using the word name minders now, and I just think that's really strange.
Well, I think that they're afraid that if they did not have a government agent there, it's intimidating the witnesses. Some of them
might tell the truth. People might tell the truth.
And of course, if there's nothing to conceal, then why are they so intent upon concealing it? And does anybody really think that they're concerned that Muhammad Atta is going to find out what we knew about him, or that we're concerned that Osama bin Laden, who's living in a cave someplace, is concerned about what we knew before the attack?
I think
they don't want the American people to know what they knew before the attack.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, fine. Well, we've got, I'm going to ask Ben, who's calling from Salinas, to hold on, because we've got George calling from Toronto. Hi, George. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. Good evening, gentlemen. A quick question. Do you plan on using what happened to Building Number 7 as part of your lawsuit?
You mean that this was the CIA building, about a 30 or 40-story building that didn't get hit by anything at all, but suddenly, miraculously, comes down looking like, well, it comes down from the bottom. It doesn't come down from the top like
that's
the others. It came down from the bottom. What about that, Mr. Hilton?
That's one of the things we're looking at. Of course, there are many interesting and strange coincidences. You know, the ones, the so-called profiteers of the 9/11 that issue, and also those who bought stock put options on these airlines just before the accident happened, betting that they would go down in value and making a killing, and buildings that weren't damaged, people that actually didn't show up for work that day, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, of course, have you checked out of these shorts? Because it was not simply the puts that were bought in the United States. They were bought over in Europe, too, in both France and Germany, my understanding. And so, obviously, somebody knew that it was coming ahead of time, and we've heard stories that some of these corporations were tied into the CIA. Is there any truth to that?
Yes, there is truth to that. We have tried to subpoena the documents regarding those put options, the identity of the people that bought them, from the SEC, but you see the Justice Department has taken over those files and is again raising the shibboleth of national security to prevent us from getting them. Again, I don't know what national security there is in finding out who bought some stock put options, but by their logic, this kind of scheme, this conspiracy of Al-Qaeda has to be stopped at every possible corner. They'll continue to mount this cover-up, which is what it is, basically, by playing these games.
All right, fine. Do you have anything else you want to ask, George?
No, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Let's go to Ben here. Ben, do you have a question? Because I don't want to... go ahead. Do you have a question, Tom?
First of all, pursuant to Fred's remarks, think of block monitors in Nazi Germany. That's the monitor. Because once you have only to be accused. How many of you citizens out there can afford to fight the government? How many of you heard what happens to people that go against the IRS?
Sure. Well,
my question is this, sir.
Ben, but you have a question for us.
Yes, I do have a question.
Okay, fine.
KKMC has wonderful Christian listeners that love the Lord and love the truth, T-R-U-T-H, and many good Republicans, good, honest Republicans. And with all the truth that you bring to the air, Dr. Stan, and your wonderful guests, the truth, that is truth, that is truth, the 28 pages we're not allowed to know, although it's billions representing our money, why do these people, who some will call right-wingers, I just call them disillusioned Americans in the mindless Midwest, why do they continue to follow the Fuhrer in the White House? Why?
All right, fine. Well, thanks very much, Ben.
Thank you.
Well, I think there's a lot of confusion on people's parts. We would like to believe that things are as we've been told, but as we always say when we begin our program, reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. And I think that we want to believe the best of people, but we have to ask why, if there's nothing to cover up, are they covering it up? Now, do you think you're going to be able to get any FBI agents to, or any government officials, or any of the people who were certainly monitoring the hijacked planes that morning, to be able to testify under oath or get depositions on them?
Oh, yes, there are. The question is how many and how high up in the organization can we go? And also, even if you do get under oath, what assurance do you have they'll tell the truth? I mean, we have a phrase that we use in this legal business called testifying. Not testifying, but testifying. And we suspect they'll testify and so on. So, I mean, even if you do get them under oath, that's not going to be the overall solution. But, again, it's a question of getting enough evidence, circumstantial as well as direct evidence, connecting dots into making lines out of dots, and finally doing that. I mean, hopefully at some point there would be a public interest in this to put political pressure on the politicians who in turn, of course, appoint the judges and so on. That would make a difference. What's happened now, though, is the country is basically asleep and not aware of what's going on. And, you know, JFK wrote a book called Why England Slept. I would suggest the appropriate word now is Why America Slept, because that's what's going on.
Well, I think that most Americans are concerned. The fact we're losing a couple of boys, American boys, every day over there in Iraq. But I think that the major thing, when the people understand we're not going to bring our troops home, they're going to be there more or less indefinitely, permanently, just exactly as, of course, Bill Clinton promised our boys to be home from Bosnia by November. He just never said November of what year. And I think we got there in the mid-1990s, and they're still there. And, of course, what's even more disturbing to me, Mr. Hilton, is that we backed the al-Qaeda side in the Bosnian War. We backed the al-Qaeda side in the Kosovo War. And, of course, both of those were backed by Osama bin Laden, and we were on bin Laden's side in those battles. Why was that?
Well, I believe bin Laden has ties to the Bush administration. His family was, of course, allowed to get out of the U.S. Right on 9/11. The fact that he hasn't been caught, the fact that bin Laden hasn't been caught is unbelievable. I mean, how can you take over a country like Afghanistan and have an ally of Pakistan and not be able to catch a guy who's supposedly on dialysis for a kidney problem? I mean, bin Laden is not only their boogeyman, but also he's an effective agent in bringing about these events that they want, and also it serves a purpose. As long as he's at large, they can continue their fantasy of an al-Qaeda world conspiracy, because now they've got, you know, this boogeyman. And so, same with Saddam Hussein. I mean, why was he allowed to leave Baghdad? This is ridiculous. When we bombed Germany in World War II, do you think we could have allowed Hitler to escape? I mean, it's not possible. He didn't. But, I mean, how do we allow these two tin-pot guys to escape like this? It's intentional. They wanted them to escape. That's the whole point.
Are you acquainted with Mr. Miniter's book, Losing Bin Laden, where, of course, he points out that there were 12 separate times, that's 12 separate times, that we had a chance to capture or kill Osama bin Laden, and every time we snatched defeat out of the jaws of victory?
That's right. You know, it reminds you of the story after Lincoln was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth. There was a movie that came out in 1977 called The Lincoln Conspiracy, which alleged that several people in the administration of Lincoln conspired to have him assassinated. They allowed John Wilkes Booth to escape from Ford's Theater and to get across the Potomac River and on. Then they finally gunned him down eventually and killed him after he served his purpose. But it does remind you of that kind of an event. I mean, it's allowing an alleged villain to escape like this is clearly serving a purpose. And not one, but two now. I mean, where's Saddam? It's my question. I mean, how can you hide if you think about it? With all the intelligence we've got satellites with imaging that can identify a face on the street. It's constantly being broadcast to the NSA and to other government entities. How do you say a man like this, two men like this, whose faces are the most famous in the world, they suddenly disappear? I mean, this is not credible.
Well, I know my friend Joel Skousen, who has contacts in intelligence, tells me that he knows of at least one occasion where people came from Pakistan. They say, we know exactly where Osama bin Laden is, and this was after, of course, the attack on Afghanistan. and the Rumsfeld Defense Department really isn't interested in getting Osama bin Laden. We have articles we'd be glad to send to one of our listeners from the Washington Times saying our policy is Osama bin Laden last, not Osama bin Laden first. We're really not interested in getting Osama bin Laden. And this is when our people were there in Afghanistan. If you'd like copies of that, give us a call of 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the article about Osama bin Laden last. And then, of course, we're just about out of time, Mr. Hilton. Do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners? How are we going to get the American people to realize that when you have an administration that intentionally lies, when you have a group like PNAC that controls the reins of government, an unelected group that is directing our policy, we can't preserve our freedom?
Yeah, well, I like to think that eventually truth will come out. It probably in bits and pieces. It's like extracting teeth, basically, because the administration is, you know, holding the lockjaw there. But I think eventually, you know, truth will come out, the truth will be known. I like to believe that anyway. You know, I'm dedicated to getting at the truth. I know a lot of other people are. I think the fact that there are, seems to me there are more and more people every day that are starting to question what really happened to 9/11 and what really happened, what's going on in Iraq. I think eventually these people are going to be brought down and brought to justice, you know, and the truth will come out. And so I would just say that that's what keeps us going here, and that's what we're dedicated to.
God bless you. Thank you so much. I hope we can call on you for some of our other programs. But you've had a fascinating hour. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Okay. Enjoy being here. Bye.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just tell you about our Miracle 2 soap products. And of course, a lot of people sort of smile when we talk about Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any medical claims for these, but we can tell you that we've heard some of the most amazing, amazing, amazing stories about how effective they've been, and whether it would be for acne or for skin rashes or even for some even systemic disease. Well, you got nothing to lose. If you have an incurable disease, nothing's going to help you, and the doctors don't know what to do for it. At least it's good soap. There's a soap and a moisturizing soap, and then, of course, there is a lotion and a gel and something called a neutralizer. It's a very alkaline mineralized substance that people will drink a little of every morning. And all I can do is tell you that we've used this for really, you know, pushing a couple of years now. I wouldn't be without the products. And so many of the people who use them are sold on them. If you'd like to find out more about Miracle 2 soap products, go to our website or give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And simply, you can get a special introductory offer of the soap, the moisturizing soap, the gel, the lotion, and, of course, the neutralizer at a reduced price. So call 1-800-544-8927 and ask about Miracle 2 soap products. And then, of course, we want to mention that if you would be interested in a Christian health cost-sharing program, a Christian health cost-sharing program, give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, if you'd like to change your long-distance carrier over to Lifeline, which is a Christian long-distance company, and, of course, we hope that many of you will, call them at 1-800-544-9533. That's 1-800-544-9533. And mention Radio Liberty. We'll get Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time I have to remind you Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and of course, if you'd be interested in helping us as we reach out across America 5 hours a day by radio and shortwave and internet and satellite, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, whatever you can afford, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month. You get our monthly newsletter, but you'll be helping us as we, of course, reach out with a truth that you're not going to get from the controlled media and you're never going to hear elsewhere. And so we'd love to hear from you. Again, the number is 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Now, if you'd like to get a free copy of our September newsletter, which simply compares what happened on September 11th, 2001, to what happened on December 7th, 1941. And, of course, you'll be amazed as you read what Secretary of War Stimson wrote in his diary about how they knew the attack was coming, and the only question was how they were going to get in the attack and get the Japanese to fire the first shot and not, of course, lose too many men in the process. It's all there, and we actually have the original, copies of the original, I found at Yale Library, Sterling Library at Yale, and we'd be glad to send you a copy of Secretary of War Stimson's diary. Secretary of War Stimson, member of the Skull and Bones, Secretary of War Stimson, certainly a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, close friend of McGeorge Bundy, who tricked us into Vietnam, and how this small group of people always worked behind the scenes, of course manipulating boys and sending them off to fight and bleed and suffer and die, but of course for far different reasons than they're ever allowed to know. And so, of course, if you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter, September newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Go to our website at radioliberty.com, and you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day. We're not getting anything accomplished, but 5 hours a day. You can actually pull down our archive programs, and they're there. And, of course, we encourage you to copy the programs. We encourage you to tell others about our programs, because that's how the word is getting out, people telling people telling people. And so if we can get people listening, whether they start listening, they think we're crazy, and after a while they're afraid we're not. And then, of course, people begin to understand that behind all of this is a conspiracy against God. And, of course, a conspiracy against America, because America was founded as a Christian nation. And, of course, this is what's so really vitally important you understand. If you read Jeremiah 11:9 or Ezekiel 22:25, there is a conspiracy against God. There's always been a conspiracy against God, and that conspiracy exists to this very, very day. And, of course, we are moving rapidly towards a one-world government, towards a one-world religion. And, of course, the ruler of this one-world government is going to be the Antichrist. And these people, many of them demonically possessed, are going right along with this, and they're making all sorts of money. They have all sorts of advantages. They're the most powerful men in the world, and they're going to spend eternity in hell. And so I would simply point out to you that if you don't have a personal relationship with our Lord, you better get one. You better begin evaluating what's really important in this world, because we're all going to live throughout eternity. The only question is, where are you going to live? Well, we hope that many of you out there, if you have any serious questions about what's happening from a spiritual point of view, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll be glad to talk to you about it, or listen to our programs regularly, or read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because, of course, this will give you an understanding of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. And you can get that at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Pray for revival. Because if America doesn't turn back to God, do you really believe that God is going to ever again bless this nation? And so until tomorrow at the same time, we'll be back once again. Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.